Well, we're checking in with the Quincy Council on Aging Director Tom Clasby to get a little update on what's going on behind the scenes at the Kennedy Center and beyond. Tom, great to see you. How are you?
It's good to see you, Joseph. I'm looking forward to the day we can do it in studio, but for now, this is, you know, thank God for the technology, really, when you think about in years past, particularly in 19, which was 16 or so, that the Spanish flu hit. To not have something like this where you could communicate with other folks, friends, loved ones, you know, I mean, it's very scary. This has been difficult enough to be isolated, but imagine doing it without this kind of technology.
Yeah, it's true. We are very fortunate. Have to look at the bright side of things, and this has been able to at least keep folks connected, even though not in person. It's the next best thing and the safest way right now, you know, certainly.
Right, absolutely, yeah.
And one thing I noticed right off is the new facial whiskers there, Tom.
Yeah, well, I was joking because, you know, as you know, my home, although we have a home here in Quincy, I have primarily resident up in Central Mass. So I've been joking with people when they say, what's with the beard? I say, well, you know, we have plenty of toilet paper in Central Mass, but no razors we can get at, you know. But I figured it's funny. From time to time, I've grown a beard, but it's always like those first weeks looks like you have a dirty face.
Yeah.
So I took advantage of no one being in the center and figured I'd bring it in, much to my wife's chagrin. So I don't know how long it'll last, but
I'll wait till folks start coming back. They're not going to recognize you. Say,
yes. Yeah.
But you've been at the Kennedy Center all through this, right?
I have been. We never, although we closed to the public, as you mentioned, you know, for safety reasons, but we continued to operate in a small capacity. The transportation program, and I'll tell you, boy, my drivers, I'm just so grateful. They really rose to the occasion. None of us have ever lived through anything like this, and it was frightening for many, but they rose to the occasion. We continued to transport to chemotherapy treatments for dialysis, and if there were some other kinds of most of the doctors were shut down, but there were occasionally some kind of a medical reason that a doctor needed to see a patient, we were able to get them in there. And very, very grateful to the staff. They're just tremendous. In addition to that, we've had a skeleton crew on throughout, because a lot of what we do, as you know, is we're a conduit to other agencies. People don't know how to get Meals on Wheels, so they call us. It's South Shore Elder Services, but we'll either, you know, give them the information they need or make the referral call ourselves to hook them up with services that they need that are provided by other service providers. So we've been in here. It's been quiet in some respects, but we've been doing some things that we never do. For instance, if a person was, and not just a senior, but if a person was quarantined because of the virus and had no other means of getting food, we were working with Interfaith, are working with Interfaith to provide them with food. So, you know, we've been doing an awful lot really since, you know, we haven't just been sitting around. We've had things to do, so it's good. And it's kept in my life a little bit of a sense of normalcy, because we've been coming in every day. You know, I really count myself as fortunate for that reason.
Yeah, it's so important to have a routine to stick to. Mm-hmm. It's very helpful, and I'm sure it's helpful for folks. You know, they're used to dealing with you and your staff, regardless of what they need. So to be able to talk to a friendly voice, you know, and somebody that they're familiar with to be able to get the services is, I'm sure, a huge comfort for them.
Absolutely, and the staff's been terrific. We've just initiated things on our own. Like we did phone calls just to check in on members here. See how they're doing, and, you know, just let them know that we're still here if they need something. We also sent out a whole bunch of cards, you know, just thinking of you, which, you know, we signed, and we got tremendous feedback from people that it meant an awful lot to them that they weren't forgotten about. You know, the other thing too is, I mean, just as the community in general and for seniors, like, we got a ton of people that wanted to volunteer in the very beginning of it. We didn't have as great a need, because a lot of the seniors have family close by. You know, there are those that are isolated, and we've been able to meet those needs, I think. But, but many of them have family and friends and neighbors that are close by. And, I've often thought, Joe, and I'm sure you, you know, would say the same. This thing, you know, it brought out the best and the worst in people. But I think for most people, it brought out the best in them. And that's great.
I think you're right. And, you know, if nothing else, it makes you pause and reflect and be thankful for the blessings that you do have in life and be more mindful of them, not take them for granted, I think, going forward.
Right.
And this, you know, this whole pandemic has so disproportionately affected older people and you know, the elderly and the sick and the folks that are in nursing homes and assisted living. That it must be frightful, you know, as I get closer to that age, I'm thinking, if I'm feeling it, imagine somebody who's 20 years, 25 years, 30 years older than me. They must be very scared, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's well, like any demographic, you know, the seniors don't all fall into one category. There are a few that maybe you wish they were a little more fearful than they are. You know, people say, I lived through the World Wars. So, and that's good in the one sense, not to be gripped in fear, but this is a real thing too. And you want to make sure that we do those things that are necessary for us to conquer it, you know? And I was somewhat critical of certainly not you guys at QATV because you do such good work, but some of the big media and ABC, I remember, put a thing on the death toll and the scary music and everything. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know? But I think you have to find that balance that it is real. And you're right, for our age group, and when I say our, I mean the age group that we serve, you want to make sure that they do all the right things. Now, in some respects, Joe, we were a little bit ahead of the game here because cold and flu season is something, you know, that's a difficult time. We do lose folks during regular cold and flu season.
Sure.
As a result of that, we're very sensitive to it. So, like, before really the COVID thing hit, we had the Kennedy Center all sanitized. I mean, we do that on a normal basis. And there's things that just signage and reminding people that it is cold and flu season, that they should wash their hands. And we never did anything with social distancing or masks or anything like that. But having people be conscious of it, and, you know, and really to if they didn't feel sick, to make sure that they contact, I mean, if they did feel sick, to make sure they contact their doctor and not to come in to spread it around. So it's something, you know, that's been in the back of our minds and that we address on a regular basis. So there was kind of an easy transition in some respects.
And of course, you have the greatest resource of all right there in Ruth Jones and the Quincy Health Department, you know, under the same roof.
I'll tell you, you know, she's terrific. She's come down when we've had questions and have helped us kind of with plans as we move forward, which we can talk a little bit about that. But there's still, you know, quite a bit up in the air. But just, you know, being there for us and really to watch her and her staff and the tremendous, they've been in here, you know, 7 days a week.
Yep.
And you know, serving the public, really have done outstanding work. And I know that they brought in folks from the Quincy Police Department early on, you know, some of the detectives to locate folks. And some of the nurses from the school system have been in too, manning the phones. So really they've done a great job and continue to do a great job.
Yeah, the city is really fortunate. It really was ahead of the curve in many ways, you know, before the state guidelines came out. They'd already started to work with the homeless population to separate those.
Yeah.
Testing.
Yeah, and Ruth, right. And Ruthie met with us early on, you know, before there were really any cases, and just said, you know, this may come, kind of giving us an idea of what to expect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate. One thing that typically would happen in the month of May, as you're well aware, is the Senior Olympics.
I know it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we when it first came about, I was thinking, well, we'll probably, you know, we didn't cancel the Senior Olympics right away, thinking that maybe, you know, we'd be out of the woods by now. But as it turned out, it just wasn't possible to do that. And, you know, again, safety's got to be the first priority. The sad part about it is, you know, so many of those folks are people we only see during that time. They come from other communities, many of them. And others, you know, I always say, like, the Kennedy Center is just one thing that we do. You know, beyond that, you know, transportation is not necessarily, we transport a lot of people that never come down here. Some of the other outreach that we do throughout the city isn't directly related to the Kennedy Center. So the Kennedy Center is the lion's share of how we communicate and see our folks, but it's not the only way. And the Senior Olympics is you know, some of those seniors that participate in the Senior Olympics are still working, but they take off those weeks, you know, 2 weeks in May, so that they can participate. So those would be folks that we wouldn't see on a regular basis. And it's always strikes me in the very beginning, the opening ceremonies and the couple of days that follow, is how many reunions occur. And they get caught up, you know, how you been? How was your year? How were the grandchildren? You know, blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of a neat thing to see. Yes. And reunion with the recreation staff. Those kids are just great. They look forward to it. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's generations have gone through that program. It's, you know, how many years now for the Senior Olympics, Tom?
Oh, man, before my time, Joe. I always used to have to rely on Barry Welsh for the specific time. But, it's 30-some-odd years now.
Yeah, so think about that. You know, I mean, one of the recreation kids who was maybe in high school when they first started, you know, 16, 17 years old, and now they may have their own kids, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what have you heard anything at all from the state in terms of reopening, Tom, and how that might work?
Well, the difficulty with the reopening is, as we mentioned in the beginning, you know, safety really has to be our first priority, because this is a group that's particularly at risk. And, you know, there are some things that we can do. Sanitize. We've actually always had hand sanitizing things in every room, but we have them at the two doors as well. We're putting in now some, you know, droplet shields, plexiglass shields. The real tough thing is going to be limiting, you know, the number of people that can come in at a time.
Right.
And I'm not really certain how we'll do that. It may very well be that we really will have to wait until we reach this phase 4, where we're pretty much certain that we're out of the woods before we can really open up and have people in again.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that as a certainty. We're just kind of trying to banter around how we would do it. The problem is how if you're limiting the classes, you know, do we do it via a lottery, and then you always have the fear that the same names are going to get chosen, or, you know, some of the things are classes that go on for a certain amount of weeks. So if they participate in that, then there's a commitment there for a number of weeks, or it may be that we open very slowly and just have, you know, size classes or something like that. The things in the gym would be a little bit easier to do because it's very large, and you know, we should be able to socially distance fairly easy in there. Right. Where it becomes difficult is the classrooms.
Yep.
You know, so I wish I had a very clear answer for you. It's still very much up in the air for us. The building itself, I mean, we sanitize it now a couple of times a day just for us that are in here.
Wow.
Because the drivers, you know, go out. Their vans are done first thing in the morning. They go out, and then as they come back, you know, we want to make sure that, because, and on us too, we may leave and grab lunch or something like that. You know, you don't want to bring anything back in with you. So the building is done in the morning and in the afternoon, several times actually throughout the day.
Sure.
So I have no fears with that. But, you know, fears with numbers is something that we have to really
Yeah, I see, like we've talked about all along with other folks, this is uncharted territory. You know, it's, I mean, it was over 100 years ago that there was a pandemic. So the, right. there's nobody around that, that knows how to get through it. We're just kind of writing it as we go. Exactly. So we'll take it one day at a time. Are you able to do anything virtually? Have you been doing anything virtually?
A little bit. We actually, you guys were very great to us in terms of putting on our yoga class has been on now a couple of weeks, Tuesdays and Thursdays, the regular time on QATV. So that's been great. And some of the instructors that come in have notified their students. So they're doing it via Zoom and some of the other technical things that are out there.
Yep.
So, yeah, we've been able to reach out to some of the folks.
Okay, great. Now, you know, I couldn't help thinking through all this how important it was that you had those, you know, computer classes for so many years. I'm sure a lot of older folks are using their skills that they learned right now.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah. So it's great.
Yeah, one step at a time. Is there anything that you need there at the Kennedy Center, Tom, in terms of will you be all set for, you know, clean supplies and masks, things like that going forward?
No, yeah, the mayor's office has been great. You know, they took a full kind of inventory of how many employees we have, and, you know, that with the emergency management department are going to supply us with with Matt, we've had stuff in here. So if we've been for, like I said, we're probably ahead of the game. We never had masks in here, but in terms of sanitizing and cleaning equipment and really top of the line kind of stuff, we would be a department that would be ahead of the curve on that, you know.
Yep, that's good news for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that there has been plans in the works for a long time about, you know, improvements and expanding and maybe updating your outdoor facilities there. Does this slow that down, do you think?
A little bit, yeah. But, you know, that's an ongoing thing. We're continuing to work on outside. I will say this. Yeah, the maintenance staff has been in and they've been working on some projects and the floors have been done and, you know, there's been painting that's been done. People see a difference. We got some new furniture for the cafe, so that's all been spruced up.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, I want to give folks something to, you know, look forward to.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If people do want to reach out, Tom, if they have questions or
sure, the main number 617-376-1506, the best to call. But yeah, we're in, so email if they want to go on the city website, they can connected to us through that. Okay. We are here. We're ready to take your questions. And if you just want someone to talk to, we're happy to do that too.
that can be a huge help, you know, especially if somebody's having a bit of a crisis at that moment, just to be able to reach out and talk to somebody.
Absolutely. I have to say that I was very, very concerned about, so I was reluctant to close, although there was no question that we had to. I'm talking about very early on, before we really realized, or I really realized the severity of it all. But I you know, social isolation was really a deep, deep concern for me. And I think, you know, we won't really know the effects until well after this is over. But I am pleased with the people that I've had the opportunity to talk to and to see how that they are coping, mm-hmm. you know. So that's good. And like I said before, you know, neighbors and friends and relatives that are close by have been there. So
yeah, it's, you know, it's an important reminder. I talked to Mike Festa from AARP Massachusetts.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
About that topic, about, you know, self-isolation. And they have some of their own programs for statewide that folks can reach out to as well through the AARP if they need help or services too. Right. Of course, they're lobbying at the State House, you know, for legislative changes too.
You know, Mike and you, I don't know if you went into his background at all, but he had worked at the State House and then yeah. he was the Secretary of Elder Affairs.
Yeah.
I was on the advisory board up until just recently. I was president, actually, of the advisory board to the state secretary. And Mike was secretary when I first came on board, just for a short period. But every secretary since we've worked with. But but he did a great job. And he's doing a great job with AARP.
Sure. You know, one area that we talked about just briefly that I'm sure the state will look at is conditions in nursing homes and assisted living, and you know, what kind of safety procedures can be implemented to avoid this kind of thing in the future.
Right, right. Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I know the Quincy's cases, the number of fatalities we have are primarily a nursing home, and I think that's the case throughout the Commonwealth. You know, if there is any good thing that can come out of tragedy, no doubt that, you know, that'll be something that'll be addressed, and hopefully we'll come forward to do a better job with it.
Yeah. Anything else we should let folks know about right now, Tom?
I don't think so. I think we covered it all. We're just looking forward to next year's Senior Olympics, and hopefully well before that we'll be up and running and having people come in, and just want to encourage them not to forget about us, to get down here when we can open.
All right. Good news, and we hope that comes sooner rather than later, for sure.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Tom. Good to talk to you.
Likewise, Joe. We'll see you.
All right. Be well.
Take care.